You might have thought it would never happen, but Switchcast is endorsing a transport company. Whether you're moving a rare collectible, a high-end sports car, or your personal luxury vehicle, Shaughnessy Overland Express delivers with precision, privacy, and respect. This isn't just transport, it's white glove care from pickup to delivery. For over 14 years, they've earned the trust of collectors, enthusiasts, dealers, and owners by offering unmatched service and personalized attention. You'll work directly with their experienced in-house team, ensuring a smooth and private experience without middlemen or surprises. Every shipment is protected with up to $3 million in cargo insurance, offering peace of mind for even the most valuable and rare vehicles on the road. In addition to their enclosed fleet, they've also established a trusted auto transport brokerage service, giving you access to a nationwide network of vetted open and enclosed carriers. Whether you need transport on a route they don't currently operate or their carriers are at full capacity when your schedule demands, they'll still get it done without compromising the Shaughnessy standard of excellence. Same professionalism, same personal touch, expanded flexibility. We are proud at Switchcast to endorse Shaughnessy Overland Express as the official transporter of Switchcast. Visit soexinc.com and tell them Switchcast sent you. Welcome back to Switchcast Season 6. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, here with my co-host, Tyler Sanders, and we are the automotive news and entertainment show that's not just for car people. Ethan Huffnagel is our assistant executive to the regional producer. I messed that up, but anyway, he's all of those titles except assistant. You know, he is his own number two. He couldn't find anyone else that was that he could trust. He is the... What's that title? Assistant to the assistant to the regional manager. Getting deep into office references. Switchcast is a podcast where we know what we're talking about despite evidence to the contrary.
God, I love that. That's so good. We need to get that welcome on a shirt.
That could just be our tagline.
With like the negatives of our faces. I don't want to wear my own face, but boy, that'd be a good time.
Oh boy. If you enjoy this podcast, help us out with the algorithms. Like, subscribe, share, leave a 5-star review, and consider subscribing to our Patreon where you get exclusive content and support our sponsors as well. We're very thankful for them and their continued support of the show. What is fueling this podcast tonight? It's not what the bottle that Tyler is holding in his hand. It's actually cinnamon rolls.
Ah,
which well, my wife made for her birthday. It works okay that way.
All right.
She forgot the eggs though. But guys, what's the ruling?
Absolutely delicious.
Yeah, these are good. These are good cinnamon rolls.
I think if anything, they're like a little more dense, not as airy, which I think the egg could bring, but the flavors there, they're delicious.
I thought you were talking about blonde people.
All right. You know, no. Easy.
Whoa. Oh. I'm also drinking whiskey after the cinnamon roll. I don't think they'd go well together.
Let's see. Warming up on our warm-up lap. That's right. If you ever get out on the racetrack, you need to make sure your tires get warm and your fluids, et cetera, before you hammer on your car and, you know, put it into a tire wall because you're on cold tires.
My fluids are warm, I tell you what.
Mm-hmm. Yikes. Hertz, according to Autoblog, Hertz has been in the news quite a bit after receiving customer complaints based on the AI damage estimators. They're using cameras and stuff because they're not using employees to validate the estimates prior to sending bills to customers. So, you know, there's an article on Autoblog, but, you know, that's nothing new for Hertz. They've been in the news lately for all sorts of questionable business practices.
Oh, really?
Oh my gosh. Last couple of years has been crazy.
When I think of Hertz, I can only think of the, didn't they have the Mustangs?
Yes.
That's all I can think of. So that marketing worked because I'm like, oh, they had the black and gold Mustangs.
Yeah, for you. But the last couple of years has been a number of articles that are not a good look for them. But anyway, according to this article on Autoblog, it's Congress wants answers from Hertz. And you know, that's all well and good, but, you know, I don't understand why Congress is getting involved in this, right? And they're kind of hypocritical. Like, we want answers from Congress. Congress is overspending, and you know, they have questionable investments, right? All these Congress people getting rich off of their investments.
They're not questionable, Doug. They're just very conveniently timed.
Yes. Right, right. So I thought that was ironic. That's like, oh, Congress wants answers from this company. And it's like, let the consumer system work itself out, right? Like,
this does seem like an odd thing for Congress to be involved in. They're not like, what are they? Also, yeah. They can barely make the tech companies like follow the law. They're not. What are they going to do to Hertz?
I don't know. I thought of a incredible marketing thing for Hertz, though. I can't believe they haven't done this yet.
Is it gold and black Mustangs?
No. Repurposing the song "Love Hurts" for like an ad for them, but like instead of "Love Hurts," it's "Love Hurts."
Yeah,
and like I feel like that could be their main marketing campaign.
I find it so hard to believe that somebody wouldn't have tried that already, and the band that or the company that owns the like copyright to that song said no, you can't.
No, they license it. You just buy the license to it.
Well, but they can say no.
I guess.
Maybe whoever.
I feel like they would want that cash. Anyway, Leopard? Follow up. We love Nazareth. Follow-ups. Who?
Nazareth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nazareth. It hurts so good. John Mellencamp. No, you don't like that one as much?
I feel like "Love Hurts" is a more just like.
Well, it's like a command. Thing. You're telling someone.
Yeah. Because it can go both ways. Love does hurt, or you must love hurts the company.
It's better. It's better. This is why I don't work in marketing.
Yeah.
Hello. Whoa.
Follow up to our last podcast about swerving to avoid pedestrians and animals, where we said it's not a good idea to swerve to avoid animals. There have been a number of accidents caused by that that were far worse than the running over of the animal itself. Well, sure enough, today, and this is not, please don't take this as a "see I told you so" moment. That's not what I'm trying to say here, but it's just it happened again. The 7.3-liter Power Stroke group on Facebook, very specific group I'm in.
Boy, they really just narrow in on a club.
Great engine. There was a bad accident. One of the members, they were towing a truck on a trailer with their truck, and they swerved to avoid a deer, which is not a choice I would probably make if I'm towing a trailer, but they wrecked hard and landed on a train track. Everyone is okay, sort of. There were some pretty bad injuries, but like everybody's mostly good now. Our thoughts are with them as they recover, and our reminders are with you, the listeners. Hit the dang deer.
Gosh, swerving with a trailer.
Yikes. I mean, unless... If you're in like a Fiat 500, maybe you want to swerve then.
Yeah.
Especially if it's an 8-pointer. Soul and Spine wants everyone to have a higher quality of life. They specialize in non-surgical options for those who have been told that they need injections or surgery. They offer state-of-the-art techniques that help over 90% of patients become pain-free in just weeks. Starting with thorough medical history and comprehensive examination, you'll work one-on-one with Dr. Hoover to meet all your treatment goals. Their mission is to unleash your body's own healing potential to avoid drugs and surgery. Visit SolonSpine.com to learn more, located in Solon, Ohio. I was personally involved in an interesting interaction this week, and I'm going to do my best to present this to you as a podcast host versus the dealer who was allegedly wronged in this scenario. Wow. But it certainly went viral on the internet, and it was basically just a dispute over $900. So why did a dispute between two dealers over $900 go viral? And I think the long and short of it is because people are absolutely sick of being treated the way I was treated by car dealers, period. And they identified with it. So let's give you a rundown of the scenario, and I'm going to play the actual recorded calls of the interaction. Switch Cars, a dealer in Ohio, contacted Craig and Landreth Cars, a dealer in Louisville, Kentucky, not to be confused with the Craig and Landreth Inc. in Indiana, separate corporations. We'll get to that later. And they had a 2010 Porsche 911 advertised on their website, on Craig and Landreth Cars' website, craigsbestcars.com. It was advertised for $52,500. Switch Cars buyer said, hey, we're a dealer. Can we buy this for whatever? $51,250 is the price they were agreed upon. I don't want to quote the negotiations because I wasn't there. Said, we want to buy it wholesale. The salesman said, let me see how to get this done, because typically salesmen do retail deals. Wholesale deals are handled with somebody else, used car manager, whatever, but, you know, really doesn't matter. The salesman gets a commission if they sell the car. So said that the chief operations officer and the owner are having a meeting tomorrow morning, have to ask them how to do it. And after that, they sent us back a purchase agreement for the price of $51,250 plus an additional dock fee of $589.50. We'll call it $600. Whoa. We pushed back and said, hey, we thought this was a wholesale deal. There shouldn't be a dock fee on a wholesale deal. And the salesman said, nothing I can do. Hands are tied. We didn't really want to pay $600 more than we had agreed to, but we're like, whatever. I think the deal's worth it. So fine, we'll sign on the dotted line. We signed a purchase agreement. We signed a form for a non-refundable deposit of $1,000. The reason we did not finalize the deal immediately and fund them in full is because they were fixing a part on the vehicle. I think it was a front shock had to be replaced. The part was on order already. That's an important detail, because we had offered to buy it just without the service being done and say, just like discount us the amount of that service. And they said, no, 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 we're going to fix the car. We already have the part on order. So we said, fine, put the deposit down with the intention of finishing the deal once that part had come in. The next day, they called Brian, the buyer at Switch Cars, and said, hey, there's a problem with this deal. Essentially, we were told to charge you for the service, which is $900. And that was not okay, because one, we had already agreed on a deal. Two, they had already increased it by $600, but we had signed contract a deal, given them a deposit for a certain price. So I said, okay, well, have the owner call me. Because I'm thinking dealer to dealer, owners talk. My intention was, since we had not done business with them before, I figured, hey, they don't know who we are. I can say, listen, I think there's a pretty good potential relationship here, because I value industry relationships a lot. We would not be anywhere without fellow dealers that we trade cars back and forth. And I thought that, you know, maybe there was something to be said there that would, you know, inspire him to want to just, you know, forget about the $900.
So you would trade cars back and forth with other dealers because somebody might have a client or a market that could handle a car that maybe you couldn't, and vice versa?
Exactly. Okay. If I get a Hummer on trade, I probably don't want it. Craig and Landreth Cars, they specialize in those types of things. A wholesaler that I know sells them a lot of cars. It's always lifted trucks. It's stuff people in Kentucky want.
Gotcha.
Right? Doesn't look like they do a lot of Porsche 911s. We do a ton of them. Like, you know, specialization of labor, selling to your demographic. Like, we don't do stuff above like $250K on a frequent basis. So when we get that stuff on trade, we don't want to buy it. We have other dealers that we have a good relationship with. You know, everybody scratches each other's back and it makes the industry work. We're not islands. Anyway, apparently, he did not see things the same way, and this is where it gets interesting. So he called me and left me a voicemail, which I have recorded here, and I will play for you.
Hey, Doug. Joey Craig with Craig Landreth Cars returning your call. Thank you for calling me, but The deal is, if you all want to buy the car, what I instructed the manager as, and I hope you don't want it. So you can call me back if you want, but you're wasting your time.
Now, that was quite surprising to me. Not the professionalism I expected. Sound like he kind of came out of the gate swinging there. So I called him back, a little less confident that we could come to terms, but I still at least wanted to try because we had made a deal and I thought that that was only fair. And this is the call, the entirety of the call, unedited.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Good. I'm wondering where we went wrong here on this deal. Why do you not want
to? Well, where they went wrong is they shouldn't even have sold it to you. But it's pretty simple. I told the manager if you all wanted to pay that, I'd go on and sell it. Other than that, I'm not interested in selling it.
Okay. Well, let's back up. We have a contract and a deposit.
Let's do this. Okay. It's real easy. You don't have shit. Okay. You're just like me. I got $1,000 that you give us on a credit card. If you decided you wasn't going to come, I wouldn't have shit.
At a price. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's real simple. If you want it, let me know. You all are going to pay that much for it. If you don't.
I do want it at the deal that we agreed to that you're associated.
That's not happening. That's not happening. Okay.
So you're going to violate a contract.
Yeah, I'm gonna violate it.
Why? Over $900?
I don't want to sell the car in the first place. Okay, they shouldn't have sold the car. But I'll be glad.
Why buddy, don't you want to sell the car?
Hey, buddy, let me tell you something. Okay, this is the last thing I want to be doing is talking to you about this. Okay,
why?
I don't care if you buy the car. You can buy the car for the $900. More or whatever the number is what it takes.
Hey, Craig.
If you don't want it, it's okay.
Hey, Craig. On your website, it says we believe fair prices, superior service, and treating customers right.
Do me a favor, okay? I don't want to hear all that shit, okay? You're buying the car wholesale. Do you want to buy the car or not?
This is your website. I would love to buy the car at the deal that
it takes what I said to buy the car, okay? Whatever the manager has told your guy, that's what it takes to buy it. If you don't want it, please don't. Okay?
We have in writing what it takes to buy the car.
You have a piece of paper. Are you seriously wasting my time?
I think you're wasting your time.
Are you
$900?
No.
Do you really want
to
fight with me?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay? Let's do it. You ain't got shit, okay? Now I'm not going to even sell you the car, okay? So have a nice life.
So that is the Craig and Landreth Cars definition of treating people right, apparently.
Hoo-wee.
Yes. Now,
but he called you buddy.
I'm not his buddy.
Not your buddy.
It gets
guy.
Spicier from there. But before we get too far down the road, because we posted that on social media, it went crazy viral. People were review bombing the Craig and Landreth Cars Google page and other pages, which is, side note, not a practice I agree with. I don't think it's right for anyone to leave a review for a company that they have not interacted with, because that sword can cut both ways. And it's just ineffective, right? So they have gotten all the reviews removed. Not sure how, but anyway, that was an unintended consequence of publishing that phone call on the internet.
So one thing I wanted to ask is, did you have a countersigned contract?
No.
Okay.
But, and that is the most common objection to our case, essentially, or our cause that came up on the internet is people agreed with Joey Craig and said, you don't have an agreement because it wasn't signed by the manager. And that's what Joey Craig said as well. He said, you don't have crap. All I've got is a deposit, which I want to clarify. him saying all I have is a deposit, in my opinion, implies that there is an agreement, because I signed an agreement that said it's a non-refundable deposit. And he admitted that if I didn't show up to do the deal, all he would have is $1,000. But he would have $1,000, which is damages, right? Like, to me, that's implied damages of, oh, you didn't honor your side of the deal, so I'm keeping your $1,000. But I, as the buyer, am not allowed to have damages. I don't have crap because they didn't sign it. So he wants it to be one-sided, the enforceability of the agreement, where he's got a deposit in case I walk, but I have nothing in case he changes his mind.
Yeah. So does them taking the deposit mean anything?
Well, let's call up our friend Kevin Burton from the Rubenstein Law Firm, who is an attorney, and he can shed some light on this because this is the most common objection to our video. That was what most internet legal experts said, is you don't have an agreement.
Hello, Kevin speaking.
Hey, Kevin, you are live on Switchcast, and my co-host here just asked what everybody else has been asking, is because our agreement with Craig and Landreth Cars was not countersigned, did we have a real agreement? Is there any enforceability to the contract?
Well, let me start by saying this, all right? And you know this, but I'll just explain it to everybody. I'm a Michigan attorney. I'm not an Ohio or Kentucky attorney where your dispute is. However, they all lie in the Sixth Federal Circuit, and they all generally apply the same principles of contract law. You paid the $1,000, as I recall, Doug, from our conversation towards the vehicle, and you haven't received that back, right?
We did receive the deposit back. They voluntarily refunded it after they canceled the deal.
Okay. Still going back to the issue of not having a countersignature on the contract, and I mean, I don't wear a black robe. I'm not a judge, but my opinion on it would be that you paid what's known in contract law as valuable consideration for your deal. You tied up $1,000 in efforts to purchase this vehicle for the agreed upon price. So the fact that they didn't countersign the agreement doesn't mean anything. And I don't know how familiar you are with the term statute of frauds. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So statute of frauds basically is something that typically applies in dealings where both parties have to sign the agreement. Most states wouldn't find that this transaction that you had falls under the statute of frauds that requires it to be signed by both parties. There just has to be some kind of consideration that's tendered, aka your $1,000, towards the purchase of the vehicle. So my thoughts would be, yeah, regardless of them not signing it, I think it's still an enforceable agreement.
Wonderful. Thank you. What are your thoughts? So I mentioned what is not a legal term, but essentially like implied damages. So I signed the agreement that says it's a non-refundable deposit. And Joey Craig admitted that if I didn't show up to do the deal, he would have $1,000. So they're basically saying, well, if you don't come through with your end of the deal, we keep your $1,000 because, you know, that's our damages for you not upholding the agreement. So it's like he wants it one way, but not the other.
Yeah. So in terms of your question you're asking to me is in terms of what your damages are for not getting the vehicle, right? As I understand it.
Right. And just kind of like he's admitting that he has damages if I don't go through with the agreement, which to me says that he actually is validating the agreement, because he's keeping the $1,000 if I don't go through with it. But then he's saying if he doesn't go through with it, I have nothing. I have no grounds to stand on.
Well, yeah, absolutely. His statements to you. And I mean, I actually just, you know, about an hour or two ago, I just watched the video again, and I got to say, he was wildly unprofessional, in my opinion. But aside from that, you know, you do have like an opportunity cost loss here, you know, in terms of what you could have sold the vehicle for. So there is consequential damages is the legal term for it. And it flows naturally from the breach of a contract. And I agree with your point that you just made. He did ratify the existence of the contract. In fact, you even asked him in the video, you said, are you going to violate this agreement? He said, yeah, I'm going to violate it. So right there, him saying that acknowledges the existence of an agreement. I mean, that would be, if it were to play out in court, that'd be a pretty crucial fact, and that'd be a pretty crucial fact that, in my opinion, favors you.
Great. Well, I appreciate the opinion. It's always good to have real professionals on our podcast as opposed to us just spouting things that we think. So I greatly appreciate that, and I think our listeners will as well. And that'll help me as well responding to the internet, the TikTok attorneys.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to come on and speak about it a little bit. And you guys have a good night, all right?
Yep, you too. Thank you, Kevin.
All right, bye.
I will admit I'm going to violate the contract is pretty, in my non-legal opinion, damning. Of like, well, if there wasn't a contract, why did you say that you were going to violate it?
Now, a few people, I saw this comment too, and I am incredibly outside of this world, so I'm not taking this side, but outside of it being a one-party signed contract, some people said that you can back up until the point that delivery of a vehicle is taken. Is there any truth behind that at all?
There could be in certain states laws that protect the consumer in that regard, but I don't think it applies to contract law. I think it's talking about specific, like when I look at the rules that govern finance contracts and delivery of vehicles, there are specific laws state by state that govern the dealers in the sense of we have to operate fairly. But I'm not aware of anything that, like any principle that overrules contract law that's like, oh, well, until you physically have the car, like that's crap, because you could fully pay for the car, contract it, and say, hey, I'm going to pick it up in a week because I'm on vacation. They can't just like send you your money back because of that. So I think, again, that's just TikTok attorneys being TikTok attorneys. The crazy thing is after posting this,
whoa,
the dealer doubled down and have been sending me crazy messages or responding on social media with some really crazy stuff and have done anything except take responsibility for just breaking a contract. I mean, it Joey Craig said, oh, it's real simple. I'm saying, no, it's real simple. We had a deal. All you had to do was stick to it. But you wanted $900 more, and now we have this whole debacle. I got an email from Austin Fox, working for Craig and Landreth, sent from the Craig and Landreth company email. The email reads in its entirety, and I quote, Doug, unfortunately for you, you do not have a signed contract. I understand, and judging by your inventory and pictures of your, quote, dealership, you probably don't have a lot of experience with actually selling cars, so you are probably unaware of what an actual signed contract is. If you and your dealership want to continue to play stupid games like uneducated brats that you obviously are, period, you will win stupid prizes. Just know we here at Craig and Landreth are rooting for you guys, and we hope you can recover from losing probably the only deal you'll have this month. Stay in there, guys. Have a blessed day.
I love the have a blessed day at the end. The just like, I am in the right and better than you.
It sounds like professionalism runs from the top down here. Austin Fox then sent me a follow-up email. I think he went on ChatGPT to get his law degree and sends me this email cease and desist. Final notice regarding online activity and legal claims is the subject of the email. Reading in its entirety, and I quote, Doug, this will serve as formal notice that the ongoing public commentary on social media and Google reviews, whether by you or individuals associated with you, must cease immediately. These actions are not only could be damaging to the reputation of our business, but are also could impacting the livelihoods of over 100 employees and their families. We take these matters seriously and will take all necessary steps to protect our business interests. If you believe you have a legally binding contract, we encourage you to pursue appropriate legal action through the courts. However, based on our records, no such enforceable agreement exists. This communication constitutes our final warning. Any further attempts to damage Craig and Landreth's business reputation or interfere with its operations may result in legal action. End of email.
Nice. Definitely didn't proofread any of that.
ChatGPT would never make those grammatical mistakes.
No, but it would have dashes. It would have a ton of dashes. The whole thing.
It would have a ton of dashes.
Right.
And it would explain oddly what a cease and desist is somewhere in there as if you asked it.
Right. So again, they are unwilling to simply admit, hey guys, our bad. We should have sold you the car for the agreed upon price.
So what if the, I don't know. And I don't know if much of the audience knows like how a wholesale deal works. Like I can't just call up a dealer. I can't call up Switch Cars and be like, yo, I'm a wholesale dealer. Sell me this car at wholesale. It'd be a pretty sweet hack if that worked.
Right.
What if the, like, does the sales associate or manager you talk to even have authorization to do a wholesale deal to sell at such a discount? What if they were taking a loss and this is all a huge thing?
Right.
Like, didn't get the right approvals? Like,
correct. That's a valid question. And I'm not going to answer you legally, but to the best of my recollection, talking to attorneys about this is, the salesman is acting as an agent on behalf of the dealership. So yes, they do have some sort of authorization to make deals, but that is irrelevant anyway, because he said in his text messages that he had to ask the COO and the owner after their meeting about this deal. So he said, I've got to essentially go get authorization to then send you a purchase contract at this price. And it was not a stunning discount. It was $1,250 off of their asking price plus a $600 dock fee. So it wasn't this massive discount. It was a fairly small discount. I think they just realized maybe that they underpriced it. I don't know what motivated them to want to change the deal other than, in my opinion, straight up greed. Because we've made mistakes. We have undersold cars before, and we knew it before the deal was finalized. But because we had a deposit and or had signed a contract and given our word, we honored it. And it cost us money. And we said, oops, we need to learn from that mistake and not do it again, whether it's pricing our cars better or not making a typo on a sales invoice, which we did. Like, he had authorization to make this deal. And at no point, well, I'm sorry, in one of the phone calls, which was not recorded on our end, the Joey Craig Jr. did say, oh, the salesman wasn't authorized to sell it for that, which in my mind is a bold-faced lie based on the text messages that we have. And speaking of lies, the representatives of Craig and Landreth Cars in various capacities and in various places around the internet have continued to double down with untrue things in response to this. In response to the Google reviews that people of their own volition left them and were all removed as of this filming, we did not at any point say that people should do this, imply that people should do this, but they responded to multiple reviews saying that Switch Cars has paid people to leave negative reviews for Craig and Landreth.
Paid?
They've said multiple places that the contract is not binding. A couple of their sales representatives have posted places that we illegally recorded the call, which is not true. On a number of counts, one, Ohio is a one-party state where I called from. Kentucky is a one-party state, which is where the other side of it
no
is.
No way, really?
They were recording the call, and when I hit to record, it sends a notification to the other party, an audio recording, saying this call is being recorded. So they knew it was recorded because they recorded it. I told them, and I didn't need to tell them in either state.
Wait, so that, okay. That dude knew he was being recorded and he still acted like
that? He was on his recorded line. And I told, like, unless the iPhone thing didn't work, I hit the button after we started the call, and it says audio prompt being sent in 3, 2, 1.
Wild.
Wild. They have posted that we had called them multiple or gave them multiple harassing phone calls prior to this interaction, which is not true. They have posted that the cost of the service changed, hence why this deal change. I mean, it's just, it's excuse after excuse after excuse. And it's really pretty ridiculous. We did get a notice from an attorney today regarding this deal, though, representing Craig and Landreth Cars.
Nice.
But not the Craig and Landreth Cars in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, whoa.
This situation has gotten so much attention that there is a different company, Craig and Landreth Inc. and Craig and Landreth Pre-Owned, that are Indiana corporations.
Oh.
Now, way back when, they were the same corporation, but when the original founders sold the companies off, sold to two different owners. So the companies in Kentucky, the Craig and Landreth Cars, with whom I have the dispute, is not the same as Craig and Landreth Inc. in Indiana. And they wanted to make darn sure that they were not associated with them.
Wow.
And the attorney basically said, they should have changed their name a long time ago, but it's never been a big deal until now.
Woof.
So it's kind of humorous. And the attorney was very professional, great conversation. But it is kind of humorous that even the other Craig and Landreth is like, no, this isn't us. Please don't, wrap us in with them.
I do really like that their website says, now you're thinking smart. It just doesn't. Oof. And the car is still there as of recording. But Doug, I gotta really just be honest with you as a friend and as a co-host, the website clearly says Craig's best price and you violated that. It's there on the website. His best price. I don't know what you want to do. Is right there. Podcast over. I don't know.
Podcast over.
You know what? One of the funniest, speaking of the website, one of the funniest, and this is just semantics, but one of the most frustrating things to me as someone who works with websites with this conversation was you reading what are, I'm assuming, like core values of the company and him brushing them off, referring to them as BS.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It is absolutely insane.
Yep. Yep.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah. And there's so much more. We could be here all night reading comments on my social media directed at me, what I view as kind of underhanded personal attacks by their employees and or ex-employees. One of them even accusing us in a Google review of being bigots and discriminating against this person, this man and his husband, and basically playing the LGBTQ card falsely. We found the person, and they had never inquired on a car, but they accused us in the review of doctoring pictures, of being fraudulent, all this different stuff. I mean, it's crazy the tack that they're taking. But the long and short of it is, in all of this, the organization is refusing to take accountability. Every message posted, every comment from their team has been blaming me for posting this stuff instead of taking a look at the root cause of people's ire, right? People on the internet identify with my situation and they can't believe how I was treated. I simply published the facts of the situation and the recorded call. It totally could have backfired on me. I remember telling Ethan when I sent him the files, I'm like, this might not go the way I want because people might just say like, oh, whatever, you're a dealer, who cares? But it was the truth. We're going to put it out there. So if the internet decided that I was being a troll, it could have backfired. But people made their own decision based on what they heard. And that's what inspired all this backlash against Craig and Landreth. It's because of Craig and Landreth Cars, not because I published it. It's like getting mad at the police who chase criminals because the criminals crash and cause injury during a police chase. No, the criminals caused the crash because they ran from the police.
One thing that I did want to mention that I did see, though, was they, at least maybe it's just my service down here isn't great, but I think they may have deactivated their Instagram account or something. And I don't know if this is the cause. This is entirely speculation on my part. I do not know if this is the cause of it. But while this was transpiring and one of our videos was gaining traction, you know, people were commenting at Craig's Best Cars or whatever his Instagram handle was. Like, is this how you do business? So the link to his Instagram profile was readily available in the comments on these videos. So people could find it. And people went there. And I did notice on some of the most recent videos they had posted where they had, you know, just dealership employees, young women, just, you know, walking around with a microphone talking about what's in the shop or not, you know, what's in the showroom, stuff like that. And people were like saying some of the nastiest comments directed toward these women in the comment section on these Craig and Landerth Instagram reels, some vile things, some of the most vile things I think I've seen recently. It just seemed like there has to be a line somewhere. That's like writing the Google reviews, having cool. that be the takeaway is, I guess that's maybe one thing. Again, we don't condone that, but like just verbally going after someone, like having that be your action coming out of seeing a video like this seems incredibly inappropriate.
Right. Well, the reality is there are some great people who are working at that dealership who don't necessarily identify with these practices. They're just there to do a job. But personal attacks of any kind in relation to something like this are unconscionable, in my opinion. Like, we're getting some, and I don't think that's fair. I think it's right to address the truth of the situation. When we posted our video, it was, here are the facts of what has happened. Done. I didn't call anybody any names. I didn't ask for anybody to do that. And it is an unfortunate, I guess, trend. This is just the internet, right? Is people hide behind the perceived anonymity to throw insults and say absolutely terrible things about people that are not justified. You know, like I don't think Joey Craig is a good business person. I haven't said anything about his personal life or like, that's a line that shouldn't be crossed. This dispute is about the fact that he showed a complete lack of integrity in business dealings and doubled down on it by verbally berating me. I think that shows a lack of character that may translate into other areas of his life, but that's not what this is about, nor am I going to attack somebody for that, let alone unrelated employees. That's not cool.
What I think is, so this went so viral that I again had a couple of people like text me a TikTok link and be like, oh my God, like, look at this. A buddy of mine texted me and said that he has had two situations where cars have been sold out from under him. And one of them, even the salesman told him when he said he had a signed purchase agreement, the deposit was taken, and the salesman said, hey, we gotta cancel the deal. The service manager bought the car, or the sales manager bought the car or something like that. It's like same situation you were in, but then somebody from the dealership just comes in and buys it anyway. So this shady but still kind of legal or not worthwhile to pursue it kind of situation seems to be happening all the time.
That it comes down to that. It's usually not worthwhile to pursue it. And the dealers know that. And that's why Joey Craig was so arrogant about this, is because he goes, I don't really care if I'm breaking a contract because you're not going to sue me. And I've been told that before by dealers on way bigger deals than this. But there are situations where dealers need to get out of a contract, right? Like, I've heard of valid scenarios where a dealer legitimately expects a service bill to be $2,000 and it's 20. And they go, hey, listen, you know, we didn't have the right contingencies in place, but we can't sell you the car for this money. And the customer could absolutely enforce that and say, you have to sell me the car. But sometimes there's a reasonable interaction where you go, okay, I get it. Or you have the car listed in multiple places and somebody clicks buy it now on eBay
while a salesman's making a deal and takes a deposit. You have two legally binding agreements that you didn't intend on having at the same time, but there's a reasonable way out of it for reasonable people. And for somebody to want out of a contract, but then to verbally berate the person who's calling them out on it, that I think is what, like, that was the spark that lit this whole fire. Is it wasn't just like, hey, listen, we sold the car too cheap, I'm really sorry. It's screw you, you don't have crap. And that is an unbelievable arrogance to me in response to violating a contract. It's really incredible. And that's, I think, what people identified with, is they just see that all the time with car dealers. And that's, it's par for the course, unfortunately, but that's the car world for you. They also, and they're definitely afraid of the truth and transparency, because I responded to their allegations about me, their false allegations, on their Facebook page, simply with facts. And they deleted my comment, blocked me from their page, and turned off comments for all their recent posts.
Nice.
So they're really doubling down here, instead of just facing the situation head on and facing it with truth. So with that, boy, let's go to the shrewd negotiator. Appropriate subsegment here. There's a heavily modified Lamborghini on Facebook Marketplace. Some friends tagged me in this one. It was great. The Lambo, the model is listed as IDFK. Let you figure that one out.
Nice.
It's for sale for $100 with the description, quote, I just need drug money.
Huh. Honesty is the best policy.
Right. But based on the wild and, in my opinion, tasteless mods, I'd say he already spent quite a bit on drugs. So that description might be correct. He's out of money. It's pretty wild.
Needs more.
I think you gotta be a little bit high to even find that car attractive, but I guess whatever. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jake Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield all-sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one, on July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All-Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine, so get yours at sheffieldwatches.com and be sure to mention you found them on Switchcast.
Let's try to make this one light.
Yeah.
It was a pretty funny story. Yeah, as funny as a priest stealing money from a Corvette raffle can be, but that's what happened according to the CatholicNewsAgency.com and YourErie.com, the sources we used for this information, this news story. A Pennsylvania priest has been placed on administrative leave after he confessed to local prosecutors last month to falsifying the results of a high-level fundraising raffle at his parish. Father Ross Michelli allegedly admitted to publicly falsifying the results of the grand prize winner of a raffle for either a Corvette or a 50K cash prize at St. Jude the Apostle Parish in Erie. I did look him up, or try to look him up, on their site to see if I could get some recent sermons, to see if he preached about greed or love of money or anything like that. But he has been removed from his job there. He's no longer on the website. And I really didn't have time to go back through a whole bunch of masses to find him preaching on something that made him a hypocrite. Yeah. I'm sure it was there, but...
You know, I wonder if when he did the confession to the authorities, if they had to put him in a dark room with a screen between them. And like,
oh, you didn't. You didn't. That's good. That's good. The Catholic parish hosted the Winnevet raffle in 2024, allowing buyers to purchase $50 tickets for the chance to win a Stingray 1LT Corvette. I don't know if it's a one of one, but
of course it is. It was the one made on the Wednesday. It's the only one that's ever been raffled in the 2024 Winnevet
Right. On Christmas 2024, the church announced that Martin Anderson of Detroit had won the grand prize. The reported winner chose the cash option. But there were some concerns about this, and warrants were issued, and the county prosecutor got involved, and the priest reportedly admitted that he fabricated the grand prize winner's name. Yes, he allegedly committed the falsification after a, quote, problem with a raffle system left the grand prize without a winner. Let's see. This...
What's weird to me is there's a huge gap in between the, like, well, this happened, people thought something smelled fishy, and then warrants were issued, but I can't really find details on how. So I guess there was some sort of, somebody within the church might have known something, and rumors spread.
There was an employee at the church that suspected something said that the priest confessed to him, which hence the alleged, right? Because it's not recorded or whatever. Uh-huh. Another confessional, yes. I wonder if...
How the turns have tabled, Mr. Father.
It's how the turntables have... Yes.
Make me short circuit over here.
A search warrant. He allegedly also confessed to awarding some smaller prizes to favored parishioners and friends.
Sounds like a mob boss.
A search warrant executed at the church office and rectory in February uncovered high-end electronics, a new Tesla, brand name sneakers.
Which those are expensive.
Well,
like, getting sneakers is as hard as me finding a GT3, apparently.
I mean, they had to have been New Balance, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And Disney collectibles owned by Father Michelli.
Look, I mean, you do what you gotta do.
The affidavit also mentioned the discovery of high-end resort cards and casino membership cards.
Vices.
Yeah. Whew.
Oh, boy. What was the name of the fundraiser again?
It's their Corvette raffle.
Wasn't it like Winnevet or something?
Oh, yes. Winnevet.
Could be steal a check, rob a church. That's all I came up with.
Should have spent more time on those.
Ethan said not bad. We're doing all right.
Just because I didn't say them. Oh, man. I wonder where that... Oh, one of the accounts stated that the church is trying to sell the car back to the dealer that they bought it from, which doesn't make sense to me that if you have a $50,000 cash option or a Corvette, that you would buy this Corvette in advance... Or after the raffle, for that matter, if the winner chose the $50,000 cash option.
Yeah, like,
that seemed a little odd to me.
Wouldn't you partner with the dealership to have them, like, reserve it for this purpose or something so then they could sell it out? That's weird.
Well, you would likely get an insurance policy for this raffle. Those exist.
Okay.
But you don't buy the car in advance.
It seems like poor planning.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
Or maybe this guy was driving the Corvette.
No, he wasn't. He was driving a Tesla.
Mm.
Well, if that wasn't one giant flop, that brings us to the props and flops of the week brought to you by Switch Cars.
As you know, Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, and consign only cars that we like ourselves. Check out our handpicked inventory online at switchcars.com and mention Switchcast for special pricing. You can find more information online at switchcars.com or even come visit our showroom in Twinsburg, Ohio. Doug, what is the pick of the week?
You know, I think my special pricing is going to be $900 off.
Doug's each best car, price, yeah.
Doug's best price.
There it is.
Tribute to Craig's best car. It's just, yep, $900 off if you mention that found it on Switchcast. We'll honor that deal.
Can't wait for the guy like 2 years from now to reference that and be like, $900 off, Doug.
It's going to happen. Our pick of the week is a 2006 BMW Z4 3.0 SI, 3 liter inline six, 6 speed manual, ooh, low miles, red over black, proper wheels, proper car for just 20 grand.
Ethan, my guy, time for you to go shopping at Doug's Best Cars.
I mean, speaking of our 25 for 25,
yeah,
that was on our list. I mean, it was the M, but I'll take the 3 liter SI.
Ethan, you could have it for 19,900. Was it
300?
300.
19,300. Plus Doug's Best Price. Plus the dock fee. That's right. About
that. All right, Tyler, what's our flop of the week?
Alrighty, so we have learned that Volkswagen is locking horsepower behind a paywall. The specific article I've got in front of me right now is from Motor1.com, and it goes on to explain that in the ID4, I believe, ID3 Pro, they're essentially, you know, shipping the same car, but if you pay a monthly subscription fee, you can get access to additional horsepower in terms of new software for your car to
how
make
much
it go
more
faster.
Horsepower?
It's in here somewhere. It is, oh God, where did
20
it go?
20 something,
it's
right?
Like, yeah, it's not
27.
A lot. It's not.
You can buy it. What's the subscription price?
The subscription is £1,560 per month. Oh, goodness. I'm on a European website. I don't know the conversion off the top of my head.
But it's like $300.
But outright, really. I think it's like $800.
Oh.
Is like you can do a one-time fee, price cut, whatever, of $800, or it's like, you know, 20 per month or 200 per year-ish. Which is ridiculous to me because that is in the purchase price of a car. This car allegedly, per this article, costs around 50 grand. That's a rounding error, in my opinion, and that, like, you don't care about that kind of additional cost. So just put it in the car. But in my opinion, this is just a way for Volkswagen to extract more value for their shareholders out of people leasing cars or not really knowing what they're getting themselves into.
The you will owe nothing and be happy type
yes.
of deal.
God, this is like...
This didn't work out well for BMW.
Yeah, didn't they do the heated seat thing?
I think it was a turn signal subscription and nobody paid.
No, I don't need that, not the BMW. I hate seeing something I love drawn to the same kind of BS that like DLC in video games has created, where you don't buy a full game, you buy a thing and then need to spend two or three times as much money to get the full thing that you paid for. So,
okay. Prop of the week. Volkswagen allows you to purchase extra horsepower for $31 per horsepower.
What? Doug, that was we've just done the flop.
Yeah, and I disagree.
Okay.
That is actually darn cheap horsepower. They allow you to purchase it outright. They don't make you pay for it monthly. You can just buy extra horsepower, and $31 a horsepower, because $877 or whatever for 28 horsepower, is incredibly cheap, as anybody who's modified their car can attest to. But let's look at a couple other comparables. The Mercedes-Benz 212 E63, the P30 package, adds 32 horsepower.
What did they do to add that horsepower?
A tune, basically.
Hmm.
You also get sport suspension. I'll give you that.
Well, that's probably
32 horsepower, 28 horsepower from Volkswagen for $877. Any idea how much 32 horsepower costs from Mercedes?
I'm sure a lot.
$7,700. Porsche 911 996 Turbo X50 package. Here we go.
You get a bunch of extra bits with that, though.
But it's all to make the extra horsepower. It's required in order to give you 30 more horsepower.
This is my rub. With the Volkswagen situation, the stuff is there. The stuff is all capable of it.
The E63 is all capable of it. You can do
an
aftermarket tune that gets you more than 550 horsepower. Turbo X50, $17,800 20 years ago for 30 horsepower. Adjusted for inflation, that's $2.4 million for 30 horsepower.
See what you did there. I disagree very strongly with the Porsche one because there were so many other bits that they put on that engine to do. Even if the end result was that horsepower, it still was extra bits that are different from the stock car. This is the same Volkswagen with a fancy tune.
I am calculating this right now. This is really important. $593 is the price per horsepower in 2003, which is when you could get an X50 package.
Hmm.
That is $1,034 today. That means it cost you more for one horsepower on a turbo X50 package than the entire 28 horsepower from Volkswagen.
I feel like you're missing.
So they're giving you a
forest
deal
for the I disagree. Very strong. The Mercedes, the tune packages, sure. The tune is just fancy software.
Just look at it as a tune.
But don't they put a different oil pan and there's like different like heads or cylinder bits on it? Like the X50 was a whole thing.
Oil pan, yes. Turbo, intercooler, tune.
Those are all parts.
Well, that you have to do that to get the horsepower.
Yeah, exactly. So you're getting bits. You're getting stuff. You're getting, it's a different car.
But you can't tell that you're getting the bits. You're going to tell me you can look under.
You got to tell everybody.
Tell the difference between the K20 and the K24 turbos.
No, what you got to do is what everybody on Facebook does is do. I've got a 2003 911 turbo X50.
Oh, I thought you were going to say put a mirror under your engine bay at the car show.
Almost. We're getting there. Not quite Corvettes.
I love this. A 911 people should start doing that. That
look at
should
my
be a new
turbos.
Trend. Look at my split case crankcase.
Honestly, no lie. When I get my GT3, I'm going to just sit there and look at it. Be like, no, look at that dry sump. Oh, so good. I've wanted you for so long.
Look at my non-corroded engine bolts.
Look at my working IMS bearing. No, mine's working now. It's fine.
Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.